morning. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Today, St. Peter is going to continue his instruction during the second lesson about what that means for us. And it's a really great second part to last Sunday, where we realize that we get the power to believe in God from Jesus, whether we feel it or not. It's the truth. We are his. He died and rose again for us. St. Peter is going to take that one step further today and tell us what that means. As we continue to live in resurrection glory, he's going to remind us we have nothing to fear on Judgment Day. We have everything to live for now. And he's going to remind us what's going to keep our faith strong. As there's lots of yuck out there, and here's how God promises to keep us close to him until that great day when he comes to take us to be with him. The order of worship that we'll use is printed in the worship booklet. And for the song of praise, again, the choir will sing the first refrain, and then we'll join in with the refrain and then sing the refrains as they occur in the song of praise. Let us worship the Lord. Service continues on page 3 in your worship booklet. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins. asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us. Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worrying and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do. You should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. By his great mercy, God made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through his called servant. I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For the well-being of all people everywhere, that they may receive from you all they need to sustain body and life, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the spread of your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in you, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven as we await your return, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, live in us, that we may live for you.
Amen.
Lord be with you. Let us pray.
O God, by the humiliation of your Son, you lifted up this fallen world from the despair of death. By his resurrection to life, grant your faithful people gladness of heart and the hope of eternal joys. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. The first lesson is recorded in Acts chapter 2. Here we see firsthand one of the benefits, the blessings of trusting in the resurrection and the power that it gave these people. First, to believe their sins were forgiven. And also it gave them the strength and desire to love one another, to get together with one another, and to share the good news of their resurrected Savior. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And Peter said to them and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Psalm for this morning is Psalm 67. You'll find that on page 6 in the worship booklet. We'll sing the psalm together this morning, Psalm 67.
Thank you.
Second lesson is recorded in 1 Peter chapter 1. This lesson will be the basis for the sermon today. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 24.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early in the morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise
to you, Lord.
Please be seated for the hymn of the day, hymn 160.
Thank you.
name of him who broke that 3-day prison for you and for me, so we can live with him now and rejoice with him forever in heaven. Amen. My mom didn't get it out very often, but it was kind of a neat thing. It was packed in this little box, and she would get it out every once in a while, especially if we were going to have a picnic, make some sandwiches, go out to the lake. It was a meat grinder. And I remember it because it was heavy, and it was one of those deals where I think you could fasten it to the table, and it had a handle that you would turn that would turn the auger inside, and then it had some blades on the end, and it would kind of grind everything up and spit it out the other end. And one of our favorite things were ground bologna sandwiches. Mom would bring a ring bologna home, and then you cut it up, and you throw pickles and the bologna into the grinder, and you crank it, and it sucks it in, and it grinds it up, and it spits it out. And they were fantastic, especially when you're at the lake having a picnic. Now, I have no way of verifying this, but I'm pretty sure my mom never went to the meat department at the Piggly Wiggly store. You don't have Piggly Wigglies here, but if you ever get a chance, if you're in the Midwest, go to a Piggly Wiggly store. I don't think she ever went to the meat department and said, give me some 80-20. 80% good, 20% rancid meat. And then I doubt she ever brought that home and put 80% good meat in, 20% bad meat in, ground it all up, and gave it to us to eat. In fact, if you would go to the meat store, the meat department, and you would ask for rancid meat, I think you'd be insulting the butcher. I don't think you're going to get any. And if you were actually able to come home with rancid meat from the butcher, I don't think he'd be in business for very long. You only get out what you put in, and if you put in rancid meat, you're going to get rancid meat out. And you are going to get sick, and your family's going to get sick. But now apply that to your relationship with God, this idea that you only get out what you put in. And you tell yourself, you know what, I have a pretty good relationship with Jesus. I would say I give myself, 90-10 on a good day, 80-20 on a bad day. But what about that 20%? What about that 10%? What's that made up of? Isn't it made up of about 33% about what Satan whispers in your ear and gets you to do? And I would imagine another 33% of that 10% are the things that the world gets you to do because the world is a powerful influence on you and it is on me. And isn't the other 33% the bad choices that you make that come from the fact that we still are always going to be wrestling with a sinful nature and a sinful heart? And what happens? What happens when we start eating the 10%, the rancid part, the sick part, the rotten part? Well, it's going to come out and it's going to show itself in our lives as we live and make the choices that we do. And if you listen to Satan, he's going to tell you that that's okay. And if you listen to the world, nothing is really going to happen to you, is it? If you go and you go shopping at the rancid meat department and you fill up on a lot of sin, and then you go out and live that sin in your life, nobody's going to care. Maybe the civil authorities will care if you break a law or if you hurt someone, then someone's going to take notice of it. Or maybe among your circle of family and friends, if you hurt one of their friends, you're probably going to hear about it. Or maybe if it gets out there on social media, society might shame you for a little while, but that's about it. Nothing big is going to happen until it comes to your relationship with God. Because what is God looking for in you and your relationship with him? 90-10? 80-20? 50-50? The psalm writer tells us what God is looking for and why. He says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god." There is to be nothing rancid in your relationship with God. There is to be only clean hands and a pure heart in your relationship with God. What happens if you go to the lake and you have the rancid sandwiches with you? And you sit down and you eat them, and then you go swimming, and then you come home. How long is that going to take? maybe 5 hours, maybe the middle of the night, maybe even overnight, but what's going to happen? You're going to get pretty sick. And so you're going to take some Tums, or you're going to take some Pepto, or maybe if it's really bad, you go to urgent care. They'll give you something a little more powerful. Or maybe it's a night in the ER because you have to get all rehydrated again because of the damage that it did, but you're going to be just fine. Maybe. But we don't ever take that chance with rancid meat and rancid sandwiches. But it's tempting to take that chance with God, isn't it? 90-10. What Satan tells you to do, what the world lets you get away with, what you think would be a good idea to do. You can't just go to Walmart and get some Tums. You can't just go to the doctor and have him make everything better for you, because if you show up on Judgment Day with dirty hands and with a filthy heart because you have put in sin and sinfulness in addition to the sinfulness, thank you very much, that mom and dad gave you, how are you going to stand before God, who judges, as Peter's going to tell us, impartially? Peter has a solution for you and for me today by reminding us it's not what we put into our relationship with God that is what we get out of our relationship with God. Peter tells you and me today, we get out what Jesus put into our relationship with God. Peter starts us, we'll go with the last verse first. Through him you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. The plan from the very beginning, and try to wrap your mind about that, even from the very beginning of time, before time even existed, God had a plan. And that plan was to send his son to live for you and to live for me and to die for the sins of the world. His job was to take all that rancid meat, all the sin that resulted, all the sickness, all the disease, even the eternal punishment for sin of all time, and to put it on his son. And Jesus died for all of it. And then God raised his son again. On the third day, he broke his 3-day prison for you and for me as proof that what he did paid for your sins and for mine, paid for the sins of the whole world. And on top of it, he gives you and me the power to believe it. Through him you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. And that is such good news, because could you go blame the butcher or the meat department if you get sick for eating something that they gave you? I think you probably could. And especially today, you could probably sue them and you could probably win. But would you still be sick? And unless someone can do something about that, is it going to end very well for you? No. Same thing in your and my relationship with God. We can excuse it away all day long. We can blame Satan as much as we want. We can say, well, it fits in with the world all we want. You can bury your head deep and hope you never have to look God in the eye for what you've done, but is that going to take care of anything? Which is why God tells you, we get out what Jesus puts in. His perfect life. He never said, you know what, oh, heck with it. It's just 80-20, and it's not going to matter. No, he never did that. He lived a perfect life for you, a perfect life for me. And he died for all of it. And so your faith and your hope are in God. And Peter gets a little more specific about what that means for us. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Remember how the psalm writer told you? If you do not have clean hands and a pure heart, you have no business going before God. Well, Peter says, remember, in Jesus, you have it, because Jesus redeemed you. That means that he paid for everything, whether it was Satan whispering in your ear, or the world influencing, or something you just felt in here would be a really good idea to do. Jesus bought you back from all of it. He paid for all of your guilt. He paid the huge price that it took, and it wasn't gold or silver. That would be easy, wouldn't it? But he paid with his life. He paid with a perfect life. And he gives that to you and to me. So we get to go stand before God someday, not with what we have put out, not with the great lives or even the so-so lives or even that we tried our best lives. We get to stand before God with perfect hands, pure hearts that we receive from Jesus.
And here's the third point that Peter makes. Finally, he has an encouragement. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. And I know at first that doesn't sound like very much fun, does it? Know that one day you are going to stand before God, and so you better live your life in reverent fear. Well, that's not really what Peter is saying. Have you ever had one of those moments when someone catches you off guard and they give you something that's so amazing, such a fantastic gift, and you can't believe their generosity? You know, next week the confirmands are going to stand in front of you and they're going to tell you that God made them and God saved them. And that's why they want to live for God. And that's a promise that God makes to you too. He made you and He saved you. And all He wants back from you is to say thank you by living a life for Him with the pure hands that He gives you and love Him with the pure heart that He gives you just to say thank you. In response to everything that He's done for you, imagine those people to whom Peter was speaking. When they know that some of them may even have had a hand in putting Jesus on the cross, and then Peter looks them in the eye and says, Jesus died for you. And Luke told us that they were awestruck. But really? God even loves us? Yes, God even loves you. And then look what that reverent fear for God, that unbelievable joy did for them. Look at the response that the people had. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because that's what God is putting in. That's what they get out. The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And doesn't that almost sound fairy tale-ish? Like that is just too good to be true. Like it's never going to happen that way, and it could never happen that way, that God's people are so devoted to giving their everything, to just get together and enjoy God's word together, get together and enjoy the company of their brothers and sisters, get together and share the good news of Jesus, go out there and your friends and family and share it with them, and to have the Lord add to your number daily. Well, Pastor, it just doesn't work that way anymore. Really? It doesn't? God's promise is not good for you and for me anymore? That when we gather together around His word and sacraments, that He's not going to do the same thing? That He's not going to put into your heart and into mine a love for Jesus and a thankful awe that He died for us and that He rose again for us? And that that's not going to work here? It couldn't possibly happen now anymore? God Himself invites you to come here. He says, don't go visit the rancid butcher shop. You're not going to find anything good there. Nothing is going to happen when you leave there. Nothing good is going to happen when you eat that. Instead, he says, come to my shop. And before you get ready to eat, why don't you take your trash out back too? And we get to throw all of our sins on Jesus every day and every Sunday when we get together. And then we get to go there. And we get to eat and dine with our Savior, where he gives us his holy, precious blood, where he gives us his body to strengthen us and to unite us, to strengthen our love for one another. And you really think that when you go out with that good news and you share with your friends and family this awe-inspiring good news that Jesus forgave the people who crucified him and Jesus forgives you too? Do you really think God's not going to add to your numbers daily? I know Satan makes it very tough to believe it. And I know the world makes it very difficult to live it, and I know we're always going to have those challenges in our hearts, which is why Peter directs us away from all of it and directs us back to our Savior. It reminds us that we don't get out of our relationship with God what we put in. We always get out of it what Jesus put in for us. The power to believe in God, the promise that we are redeemed from all of our empty choices, and the promise that we get to stand before God, perfect, holy, and blameless now and on that great day when he comes back to take us to be with him. To God alone be the glory for this Easter comfort and confidence. Amen. Please stand. We encourage one another as brothers and sisters in Christ by confessing our faith together. The words of the Nicene Creed are printed on page 9 in the worship booklet. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated as we gather our offering. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for the glory of your Son's resurrection. We thank you for his perfect life and innocent death on our behalf. We thank you for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that helps us grab onto his promises, that helps us to remember that his life is our life, his death is our death, and that sin and death have no more hold over us. Help us to rejoice with you, rejoice with our brothers and sisters, and anticipate an eternal rejoicing with you in heaven. Dear Heavenly Father, until that day, we ask that you would walk with us through life. Be with our friends and family who are sick, who are suffering, who are weary or worried. We ask that you would be with our brothers and sisters who are wandering from you, wandering from the faith. We ask that you would rekindle in their hearts the fire of a love for you. And dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with those who do not know you. We ask that you would use us, if we have the opportunity, to be your witnesses. We ask that you would use the church at large to be your witnesses, to share the good news, so that just as you added people daily to the number of the early church, you add daily to the number of people who believe in you today. Please help us to find joy and satisfaction in living for you in the joy of the resurrection. Amen. We give our attention to page 10 in the worship booklet, where we make our preparations to receive the sacrament. Please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who rose from the dead in glorious triumph to bring forgiveness to the world and everlasting life to all who believe. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. And we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power. By his incarnation, he became one with us. By his perfect life, he fulfilled your holy will. By his innocent death, he overcame hell. By his rising from the grave, he opened heaven. Invited by your grace and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood, and preserve us in the true faith until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you.
do this in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
We join together to ask God to send us on our way with his blessing, having heard his word and received his sacrament. We do so with the words of the Song of Simeon on page 14. Please stand. We give you thanks, O Lord, for the foretaste of the heavenly banquet that you have given us to eat and to drink in this sacrament. Through this gift, you have fed our faith, nourished our hope, and strengthened our love. By your Spirit, keep us, help us to live as your holy people until that day when you will receive us as your guests at the wedding supper of the Lamb, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please be seated for our closing hymn, hymn 150.
Once again, Easter greetings and peace be to you, knowing that Jesus has put in everything necessary for you to live with God now and live with him forever. So may God give you joy in living for your Savior in the week ahead. I've been asked to share with you that there is the LWMS rally just right down the street at St. Andrew this coming Saturday. If you would like to go, but you can't drive or you don't have a ride or way to get there, there are some spots that have opened up. So if you would like to attend the LWMS rally, please speak with Ellie Ennis, and she can set you up with transportation. And so we look forward to that presentation this Saturday down at St. Andrew. Also, I've been asked to share an announcement with you about the small group Bible studies that are getting up and running, in addition to the ones that are going. A new small group Bible study is getting started, and they're looking for members that would be interested in attending. Dave Call will lead the study Thursday evenings on the book of Romans, and it will be held at the home of Hilma Wolcott in Citrus Heights. It will start as soon as a handful of people are signed up. If you're interested, please get in touch with Dave Call. So there's another opportunity to stay connected with your brothers and sisters and also to stay connected to your Savior. Also, please take a look over the announcement sheets that were handed out or emailed to you. If you are not signed up for the electronic copy and you would like to receive those, just get in touch with Mrs. Taylor in the church office and we can add your name to the mailing list. So those are the announcements I've been asked to highlight, and Mr. Rausch would like to address you as well.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. Like Pastor said, there's a lot of announcements, like two pages stapled together and a lot. So lots going on. There was just a couple of things I wanted to highlight for everybody so that, you know, we focus on those. First one is I had the opportunity to talk to Pastor Kelpine yesterday morning for a little bit. Really great guy. We just continue to get great candidates. So please keep him in your prayers. And one thing on there you will see is his email address is here. It means a lot to these guys, even to just get a short note, a short email of encouragement. I said words of encouragement and words of recruitment are also appropriate. So anyway, that's one. The second thing I wanted to just take a moment on is our Crossroads ministry. I know a lot of you, plenty of you, were back in the fall when we did our phase one kickoff. You guys attended that, and everybody was fired up for it. We agreed then in December to go forward with it. We funded it, and now we are in the middle of phase two, which is the real heavy lifting for us. It's the analytics phase where we take a look at ourselves, our history, facts and figures, many surveys, so that's where we are right now with that. And there's a couple of things that we really want to ask you on. And by the way, this is its own sheet in the announcements when you grab that. So Tom and Pam Schlittenhardt have been leading phase two for us. Tireless, countless hours, beating on us to make sure we get our deliverables and so on, doing a great job. And there's really three main things we're asking the congregation right now to consider and support. The first is Tom and Pam could use just a little more manpower to do the final push to get this data collection done. Could be a little bit of running around, chasing people, that sort of thing. So if you can help be part of what we call our guiding coalition, and that's described in here, please see Tom and Pam. That'll be great. Second thing is June 9, 10, 11, coming up in not too long from now, will be our big Crossroads weekend. The consultants will be on site. They'll be conducting face-to-face interviews, putting together a report. So there's a few things there that we really want to highlight. Friday evening and Saturday afternoon, June 9 and 10, Crossroads will be conducting what they call pulse groups. Like a pulse. And so they're trying to get real-time feedback, have as many members as they can sit with in a group setting, and get some questions and answers and really, really understand exactly where people are at the moment here at St. Mark's. So on the back, there's a couple of sign-up sheets. We ask that you try to find one of those two times, either Friday evening or Saturday midday, that would work. And then the final thing mark on the calendars would be Sunday evening. That would be 11 of June, and that's when they will do the big reveal. They will unveil their diagnostic report to us. This will be the result of many, many hours of compilation, statistical analysis, demographic analysis, the pulse surveys, everything, and they will give us a comprehensive view of where they believe we are right now. Again, these guys have worked with, I think they're now north of 300 congregations, so that very credible resource and a very credible view they will give us. So the other thing about Sunday evening, we've learned loud and clear from some of the recent call meetings and annual meetings that when we have a meal and we do it in the gym with the round tables, it's just great. And so we'll probably organize it that way again on June 11. So that's kind of the updates. If there's anything else, just see me, see any council member. We're all working on this together. Other than that, I don't think there's any, no other announcements. So talk amongst yourselves, and the ushers will let you out.